Coming up in a little bit, what actually makes a star. I like that idea of the home run derby party as well. You can't sit there and complain about the sport dying.
Yeah,
and
I think that's awesome. I mean, not so awesome for you, Owen, because
glad the kids are involved.
You had to drive
home.
It was
not awesome at all. That was fine. I was on my phone the whole Caden's in Fargo. I'm watching him, and like it was the whole deal.
Well, I wish we could talk about that for the entire show, but we got to get back to the business at hand. So yesterday, there were a lot of people who wanted. There were a lot of people who wanted us to sit there and say that this woman who has thrown these or has made this criminal complaint at Quinshot Judkins. They wanted us to say some really irresponsible stuff about her that just was not going to happen. Like, you can say whatever you want to on the internet without fear of reprisal. Lyman and I can't, so you have to call it down the line as best you can until every person has their say in a court of law on this.
Honestly, Kenny, it was unfathomable to me.
Oh, and we've just been through this.
Well, we've just been through this so many times that we've kind of got it down to a science now where
get too careful, though, or comfortable, though.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Like, me and you were adamant yesterday that we were both not going to go off the rails on Judkins until we got some facts, and we were also not going to victim shame, which I could not believe the sheer amount of people who are comfortable doing that, and they just pick their side in domestic violence cases. They pick sides. Like, I can't believe people do that. Now, we're supposed to have a little more of a responsibility, actually a lot more, because we can't come on the air and say things that aren't facts and speculate on something. We weren't there. We weren't in the car. We don't have pictures. We don't have videos.
I can only go from reports videos come out.
And we played comments, or we shared comments from the defense attorney. So we did make it clear, like, yes, that's what a defense attorney typically says. It was almost out of central casting, the things that the defense attorney was saying. But we're like, we're going to share these because he is the advocate for the Browns player.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything from a prosecutor yet.
Right.
And we just got the report yesterday.
We're going to share those. We are not going to do this. We have a court case that is going to happen, or at least we'll see what how the situation, you know, the litigation, how it presents itself. But I'm glad you guys can feel comfortable going on social media, just trashing either one side or the other. Like, we're never going to do that.
Social media, again, you can create how many different accounts and just go after whatever and do all that stuff, especially in some of the social media platforms that are out there. So there is a several paragraph report here that spans two different pages. I'm not going to read the whole complaint.
There's that much of a complaint?
Well, there's just several paragraphs of the setup and what initiated the possible argument that escalated to physical confrontation with allegedly with Quinshot Judkins and the woman involved here. Stated that she arrived at Fort Lauderdale Airport, defendant, on Monday, July 7th, late in the evening. Victim stated that after departing the plane, she used the restroom. The victim stated she emerged from the restroom and then proceeded to baggage claim with the defendant. The victim stated that at baggage claim, the defendant stated, "Oh, wow, I can't believe you, and I'm so done with you." The victim stated she had no clue as to why the defendant stated this. The victim then entered a Lamborghini SUV rental vehicle that was already waiting for them at the airport. The victim advised they exited the airport in the vehicle. The victim stated the defendant was showing frustration after he read text messages from family members. The victim stated she was trying to explain to the defendant that the messages were not true. The victim stated she suffers from anxiety, began to stutter while explaining herself. The victim stated that the defendant then punched her in the mouth, chin area with a closed fist. The victim still had visible bruising on her chin area. The victim showed me, being the officer who's writing this report, showed me a photograph that she took the following day of her chin lip area. The bruising was clearly evident. Later in the statement, the victim stated that the defendant turned around while he was driving as she got back into the back seat. The victim stated that the defendant turned around while he was driving and struck her additional times in the left arm and thigh. The victim had visible bruising on her left arm and thigh. The victim also displayed photographs that were taken just after the incident with similar bruising. The victim stated that while the defendant was striking her in the instant, she began to kick her feet in his direction to defend herself. It goes on from there, but those are the two big things.
And I mean, this got reported. And as we know, the NFL, because that's the question that is in front of us. And, you know, whether or not, you know, the relationship between these two, how it went south, why she, I remember a lot of people, you know, yesterday were talking about why did she come forward right away, as if we don't have, you know, endless domestic violence cases that explain a lot of that. You know, it's disheartening to, you know, two young people that know each other. It's disheartening to see anything like that. So we're going to look at the football side of things because we have to talk about that. We're a sports talk radio station and people want to know how seriously the NFL is going to take this. You know, the details, they were in the New York Post yesterday. I mean, as a national publication, so the New York Post, you had national NFL writers weighing in on this. And what, Kenny, do we know about the NFL when they step in on things like this?
Well, they're going to protect the shield as best they can, so they already don't like this. So that means there's already probably a suspension coming around, depending on what the investigation shows.
And I would assume
significant size.
Yes.
Plus, I don't know how, but the suspension gets a little bit muddy because, again, he has not signed to a contract yet. So what do you do about the contract? Do you sign a contract as soon as you possibly can? I don't know. Again, I don't even know if he's allowed in the state right now or allowed to leave the state that he got arrested in.
The commissioner's exempt list, you know, has been used in situations like this, but that is basically suspended with pay.
Well, you can exempt them, then suspend them, correct? Yeah. I think that's what happened with Michael Hall.
But you're going to get paid, but you're not going to be with the team. All right, but how is he getting paid?
I have to go back and check that record, but it's happened before.
This is a little more of a bizarre circumstance. Either way, I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not missing at least a third of the season. And, you know, we had Zach Jackson yesterday talking about just how big of a deal it is when somebody is not there in their first camp. You hear guys in the NFL talk about how they were put behind the eight ball and never, never recovered.
So yesterday there was, you know, we asked the question and there were a lot of people, well, how can you blame it on the Browns? There's been no previous instance of this. There was no warning signs, any of this. There was nothing said that Quinshon Judkins could be trouble. And then this story comes out, and it seemed that immediately a lot of people changed their mind on that, where it's like, now it's the Browns' fault, which I have to tell you, Tone, what's right is right in the argument where I'd said it's another log on the fire against them. Like a lot of people, once they saw the report, Tom Pelissero had put it out, once a lot of people had read the details of this report, of these allegations in this case that we're getting into here, is that they changed their mind and, well, this is why they're a moribund franchise. This is why I can't take them seriously. Unserious franchise. Like, it got to that part, and I thought, well, again, the truth of if they didn't know, if nobody had any inclination, the people who do, the former FBI people who do these background checks and all this, if there was nothing there saying that there was any sort of a warning, the question was, how could you blame the Cleveland Browns? And my issue was, in this case, you wouldn't, but at the end of all of it, you would. And all it took was the details for a lot of people to change their minds and go, this is why the Browns are the Browns. I told you this would happen. Is where you can say, hey, that's a tough break for Andrew Berry in the grand scheme of things, as you drafted a guy in the second round who right before camp has these allegations thrown against him, which are really ugly when it comes down to the police report there. But that's the entire case of it there. It's a frustrating thing for a fan base. And even though, you know, I can't blame Andrew Berry for drafting the guy, it's still going to be thrown against him. Fair or unfair, that's the way it's going to go. And it showed yesterday afternoon after this report came out.
And I get all that, obviously. Every player, whether they get injured, whether they're busts, you know, whether they're nowhere near as good as where you drafted them, they all go in the same bucket of, did the player work out or did the player not work out? And unfortunately, coming off a 3-14 year, I think this is the lowest the fan base has probably been on Andrew Berry. Like, I can't imagine that his approval rating has been worse than it is right now. And so I don't know how, as short of them getting off to a good start, and we've all seen the schedule, I have no idea how he's going to rebound from this at all, and everything else that's happened.
You have to understand how much of the offense I thought was going to have to be tailored around Quinshon Judkins to set this thing up. Now, I don't know very much. I saw Dylan Sampson in college, but there's nothing there that I certainly didn't see as much Dylan Sampson as I saw Quinshon Judkins. and you saw that, hey, one's a second-round pick, one's a fourth-round pick. You take one to be an heir apparent, and now the guy who's supposed to be an heir apparent, I don't know when we're going to see him. I have no idea when we're going to see him, and clearly he has things that are more serious in his life than playing for the Cleveland Browns. He's got to get some things figured out here when it comes to the law before he's able to rejoin this football team. And then, well, he's got to get things figured out with the law, and then he's got to get things straightened out with the NFL before he's ready to rejoin this football team and contribute at all. So as of right now, I have to see this after this report comes out, that this is a lost season for Quinshon Judkins. That puts your offense already in a tough spot. And your offense was one of the worst in the league last year. And I believe by some metrics, the worst since 1999 when it comes to your total team offense. This is a tremendous blow. Tremendous.